I'm proud of where I'm at. I've taken care of myself and, my kids. I could totally beat my kids. They're always saying, "Oh my gosh, I'm getting old." I'm like, "Then you are getting old," because I never say that about myself.
Hello and welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance, whether you're running an ultramarathon or just living your life. I'm Eric Dieter, your host. I am an ultramarathon runner. And when we trail runners get together, we never know where the conversation might lead. So if you're ready, let's get started. My guest today is my friend Renita. Renita and I run in some of the same circles, have some of the same friends, it's the same running group that we are part of. So this conversation is much more like a traditional trail conversation where two trail runners go out and just kind of chat about whatever comes to mind. And so as such, I kind of to start drop you into the middle of our conversation because I didn't really do a formal type introduction, the kinds of questions that I do for people that I may not be as familiar with. So hope you enjoy this conversation between me and my friend Renita.
But she's kind of said once we've finished that job, she said, let's, take the drying racks and put in the, put in storage. So
yeah,
we're not actively looking.
Yeah. You guys did that a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. And she's ready to be done painting.
I'm sure. I mean, I haven't done it not even close to as long as you guys and I was done.
Yeah. That's cool. Well, and you said you thought about doing a podcast. Are you still thinking about that?
That's part of what I'm trying to pursue. I've been on this healing journey, the spiritual healing journey, as of late. And, so when I found trails like 6 years ago, I've always loved the mountains. I've always loved being in the trees and in the woods. And I grew up always down at the Lake of the Ozarks when I was a kid, we were just hiking around with my mom and swimming in the water and all that, and creeks and rivers and all that. And, but I've always loved being outdoors. And when I found trail, cause I would run the Johnson County paved trails. And then I'd come out to Waco or Shawnee Mission Park and go for a hike before I found trail running. And then I found trail running and then it's like, okay.
So you were running now. Before you started trail running?
Yeah, I've ran since like my whole life. I've always been a runner.
Yeah.
But nothing over like 10 miles, nothing over 10 miles. And then I found February of 17, there was a post on Facebook and I can't remember the post and I can't remember the races, but it was a race between three national parks. So, and it was on the west. So like Moab, something like that. I don't really know what it was, but I made a comment like that looks incredible. And some random person commented on my comment, said, hey, you should do a 50K. I'd never ran anything over 10 miles, never ran trail before. I'm like, okay, why not? So that was February of 17, May, I did my first 50K and that was
Lake Prairie.
Yeah, it was Rock on Lake Prairie. Yeah, Rock on Lake Prairie back in May of 17. That was my first 50K and I haven't looked back. But since I found trail, I'm like, this speaks. I mean, I love being on the podium. I love running, but the trail is like, it's more than the running. It's just really deep for me. And this, the past 6 years, because I've been running trail 7 years, actually. 6 years. I can't do math. Anyway, I just knew I wanted to do something with my running. And the amount of time you spend on the trail and you're running with people, what do? You talk.
You talk
the whole time. I'm like, I'm going through this spiritual journey, this healing journey. I've lived my life. Everybody's had their traumas and I've had mine. And I'm learning from them, growing, and I'm like, I want to combine them somehow and make it, and I would have to monetize it so I can make a living off of it. But I know that there are women my age that are feeling stuck, that are feeling helpless, that are feeling lost, that are unhealthy, that are going through a divorce, are divorced, they're becoming empty nesters. Those are all trauma. I mean, those are all like bad things to go through. They're hard to work through. And I've gone through all of that. So I'm like, I want to do something with that, with my running and that, you know, whether it be coaching, running. So I've got a couple people I'm coaching a little bit on running, trying to get them to do a 5K or whatever. And I like that, but I don't know. I just feel drawn to help other women. Men, fine, but it's more, it's more women. I mean, I have a lot of men that follow me and that's fine, but I want to reach women because I haven't found that group for myself. So I want to be that. I want to start that. And so other women have that group to find.
Yeah. Yeah. So. And you, when I met you, then you were, hadn't been running a whole lot longer than I had, like, because you started the first of 2017. I started the last of 2017. And
yeah.
So, you know, it was really, you'd been running about a year. And so when I, you know, when I first met you, you know, you were pretty active in the trail running. You were really, really, you know, pursuing it hard. So what was kind of, what was your motivation to, I know that you kind of worked your way up and did some longer races, you know, after that. So, you know, what was kind of your motivation to do that? I
mean, my motivation was me, me. It was all 100% me. I loved every second of my training, even my 30-20 weekends. I never woke up thinking, oh my God, I have to go run today. I love it that much. And I think the drive for me was that it was me, it was mine. It was nobody else's. Nobody could do it for me. 100% me. Whatever I put into it, I got out of it. The motivation was just to prove to myself that I am strong, because in other aspects of my life, I'm not. I am, but I don't feel it. My running just comes very natural and easy to me, that it's my one thing that's like I'm confident in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, and so when I was just around you on the trail, I mean, I would have taken you as being confident in every area of your life, because you've been just, I knew you as a runner, and, you know, and I was just starting out, you know, and you were one that was, you know, you were kind of pushing yourself, and I just, you know, I was kind of, you know, maybe afraid of you, intimidated. I mean, it was like, just, you seemed so confident and so, and you were such a good runner. You know, I really admired your what you were doing, and you know, it's just kind of, I was like, oh my goodness, that just, you know, and there are people, you know, that you kind of, that I put you like in with the elites, you know, as
no, that area. I guess that would be amazing. A little too old for that now, but yeah.
but yeah, and that's something I've always admired, and I just, and then, you know, we didn't talk a lot, but I mean, the conversations we had, you always had a drive, you know, there was a solidness of a, you know, the kind of person that, you know, you had that mindset that you wanted to see how far you could go, and you really went after it. So, yeah. So was that something that you had before? I mean, you said it wasn't in other areas, but I mean, did you have that in other areas of your life that drove you?
It might be a stubborn thing, because I'm really stubborn, and I'm really, I'm definitely driven and strong-willed, and like to prove myself. But the trail is different. I'm so completely comfortable on trail, and when I'm running, I can talk your ear off. But as soon as I get off trail, I am, and this is not a negative, but I'm a loner, you know. I'm like a hermit, you know. I'm very comfortable being by myself. That's why I run by myself so much. I love being by myself. I'm very comfortable by myself. But when I'm running, you know, I can talk and talk. I just ran last Saturday with a girl, and we talked the whole time, and I, you know, I was telling her, you know, my ideas and plans, and we were talking about each other's lives and everything. And then once we get off trail, I just kind of shut down. I mean, I don't know if you've ever noticed me at bar, but there are some nights where I'm just jabberjaws. I can talk all night to everybody. And there's other nights that I'll just sit by myself.
Yeah.
And I'm so 100% comfortable with that. But then, you know, somebody will say, hey, come say hi or whatever, which I will, but I'm both.
Yeah,
definitely both. But I can be, I do come off as confident. I've heard that in my life, but I think my upbringing has allowed me to be that way. Cause you know, I moved around a lot as a child, so I was constantly trying to fit in. So I can fit into any situation.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's not that, it's not really comfortable for me. I'm more of a small group kind of more one-on-one type of person. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, I just, I know people who are that way that they can, they're really introverts, but they can kind of turn on and be, you know, interact with people in ways that is are effective and kind of, they don't come, you don't always come off as an introvert, but, mm-hmm. but the more I get to know you, it's like, there are times that you just, oh yeah, I want to be quiet. And I, that's really, really good that, I've admired the fact that you can kind of do what you want. And you're not trying to, you really didn't seem to be trying to impress anybody else except yourself.
Never.
For yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's not ever been a goal of mine. That's just me. I'm not trying to impress anybody. I'm trying to just live my life and be proud of myself. The only people I really want to be proud of me is me and my kids. Mm-hmm. You know, I definitely want my kids to respect me and, you know, be proud of me, and that's a big goal of mine. But
yeah. So when did you, what led you to go, let's see how far we can run? I mean, you did the 50K. I mean, that when I finally met you, you'd done quite a few 50Ks, but it was a while before you did, you know, got up in mileage, if I remember right.
So I did my first 50K in May. Then I did my second was Flat Rock, which is in that Southern Kansas, you know,
right.
Flat Rock.
Yeah. So was that when you set the course record for?
Not that year. Okay. I got first place, but I didn't set the course record. The following year I set the course record. But so I did the 50K, and then I did Hitchcock's 50 miler mm-hmm. that year. And I ended up second place female. And I never, you know, what's crazy is when I said, I'm going to run 50 miles, I was like, okay, I'm going to run it. I never once thought, I don't think I can do this. I'm not sure I can do this. I just knew without a doubt I could do it. And then I ran the 50 miler and I'm like, I'm going to run 100. And then I found OT. I'm like, I'm going to run it. I'm going to finish it. You know, I don't have any doubts whatsoever. I ran it and DNF'd, which I was 100% okay with, because I knew the second I DNF'd, I was coming back the next year and I was going to finish it. Mm-hmm. And I did the next year. And I went to do the OT again. And my goal is to get back into running and more back into trail and run one 100 every year for as long as I can do that. I would love to do that. And what drives me, what makes me want to go up, I have no idea, because when I was running road and I was running nothing over 10 miles, everybody would ask, like, when are you going to do a marathon? I'm like, I will never do a marathon. That sounds so boring. And then I found trail. And I'm like, I can't get enough of it. And I don't want to run a trail. I don't want to run anything under 8 miles when I go out on the trail. Like, mm-hmm. you know, I love doing 20 mile runs. I love doing 30 mile runs on the trail. So
when you were running road, the difference in your inner, what was going on inside of you running road that made it so you didn't want to go any farther than 10 miles?
Because it was, you know, the paved trails are really pretty in Johnson County, and you have the trees and it goes mm-hmm. along the creeks and it's really pretty. But like I said earlier, I would run that and then I'd go hike out at Shawnee Mission Park or Wyandotte County, and I'd hike. And that is what I loved, was being in the trees, like in the nature, in the rocks, in the dirt, you know, all that. And that's the difference. You know, once I found trail, I never wanted to touch road again, because the road was all about the running. I wanted to be faster. I wanted to just, it was about the running. The mm-hmm. trail is less about the running. It's more about being out there in nature. And it's kind of my own little world. You know, it's like my little cocoon, being enveloped by the trees. So
yeah. Well, and I've heard other roadrunners say the same thing, is that the focus is on your performance when you're on the road, mm-hmm. much more. I mean, it just kind of the way the road running, it kind of lends itself to that.
Yeah. I mean, I still like to do well on trail, you mm-hmm. know, if I can get first place, you know, if that's something that I think I can do, I still want to try to do that. I'll be 52 in August, so you know, at least I can do masters, right? I was going to say something else about that, but yeah, I don't know. Trail is amazing. It's incredible.
Yeah. I had something else that I was.
Yeah. I remember mine too.
Go ahead. So
lately I took off 2022 almost completely. I think I didn't even run 500 miles that whole year. And that's crazy because the year before, I think it was 1200. I did 1700 the year before. So I really didn't run 2022. And 2023 comes around, or just before 2023 comes around, I'm like, I've got to get back to running. Like, I'm not going to do trail. I'll start road. So I started running road and I started listening to podcasts. Oh, I really enjoy road now because I love listening to podcasts so much. And I didn't think I'd ever put anything in my ears again, because mm-hmm. once I found trail, I never listened to anything, no music, anything. Every time I ran road previously, I had music going. I had mm-hmm. fast music going because I wanted to run faster, faster, faster. Right. And then I found trail. I'm like, I want to hear whatever's going on out there. The squirrels, the birds, whatever. I want to hear it all. And then when I decided to get back on and running road, I found the podcast, and the podcast is helping me with my healing journey. Mm-hmm. And at the same time I'm running. So I'm getting two for one there.
Yeah. So if you are willing, tell me a little bit about your healing journey. Cause I follow you on Facebook. I mean, we haven't had a chance to see you at bar, I think, for a while, but I mean, you've missed, I've missed. I mean, I haven't, there's been, you know, just life has been kind of, mm-hmm. kind of going on.
Yeah.
But I've seen your posts, and actually you look different.
Do I?
I hadn't really spoken with you for, you know, probably 3 months. And so just seeing your pictures and, you know, besides what you were saying, you look different. And so, so I was kind of curious what, there's a lot there. Yeah. Yeah. So whatever you've been doing, I mean, I knew you've been listening to podcasts and you kind of talked about that, but, so whatever you've been doing has been, transformational in ways that is noticeable. So.
Well, I don't know how personal you want to get.
I'll leave that up to you.
Okay. I'm kind of an open book, because this is what's going to allow me to, pursue what I want to pursue. My life story, I think, will resonate with a lot of women, you know, middle-aged women that are kind of, you know, in the same. I was in a very unhealthy relationship for the past seven and a half years. And each year I just got sadder and sadder, sadder. And then it finally ended. And once it ended, I started doing what I wanted to do. I started eating the way I wanted to eat. Being with this person, you know, it's a give and take and everything, but I wasn't living for myself at all. I wasn't doing my activities that I liked. I wasn't eating the way I liked. And once we separated, I'm like, okay, this is me. So I'm back to eating more the way I like. So I've lost weight. So that's probably what you see, is I've lost weight. But I'm happier. My face,
I can see
old pictures of my face just like dropped. And like, even in my smiling, it wasn't a real, like, sincere smile. And now I don't know, I'm happier. And because of what I've meditating, the podcasts that I'm listening to, I don't know if you're spiritual or not. But I've recently come across, it's called Human Design, and it's kind of woo woo. And a lot of people are like, oh my God, whatever. I don't care. I honestly do not care what anybody thinks or says about it, because it resonates with me. And who am I living for? Me. Right. Mm-hmm. So Human Design is based off of your birthday, the time, exact time of your birth, and your location. of birth. And okay. then it tells you about yourself. Oh my God. The second I read my design, because there are like four different main like projector, reflector, generator, manifesting generator, and manifestor. So I'm considered a manifesting generator. And when I read that and read what that meant, it was like I'd been seen for the first time in my life. I have a lot of ideas. I like to do a lot of things. I have a lot of interests, but as soon mm-hmm. as I'm bored with it, I'm done. That's my whole life. My whole life. I mean, not that the jobs I've had, none of them are related. They just, I do it. I'm like, I don't like it. Let's do something else. I can't stick with one thing unless I'm really, truly interested in it. The running, like that's, I love it. I have to do something with the running so I can support myself mm-hmm. because that is my passion. That is, I believe, my purpose, something with running. You know, I'm not elite. I'm not going to train people to be elite runners. I don't know exactly what it is at this point. I'm working with somebody. I met with a life coach and a business coach to figure that out. But I'm super excited about it. But I've been on this healing journey and wanting to do this coaching, mentorship type thing for, you know, quite a while. But my since December, I think, is when the spiritual has like just nonstop. Because I've been a self-help reader for 10 years. Mm-hmm. But December, something happened. I was like, that's it. And that's... I can't get enough of it. I can't get enough of it. It has made a huge difference in my life because I'm finally thinking about me. You know, when you're a parent, you do everything for your children. You want them to be happy. So you sacrifice for them, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. like they want to do this. I don't really want to do it. They do. So we'll do it. I did that my whole life. You know, I was a mom at 20, you know, my kids are now 31, twins are 29. My youngest is 18 and I have two grandbabies and now it's me, you know, they can all take care of themselves. The grandbabies have their parents. I'm like, it's me. It's my time. I'm going to live for me, you know, not be mean about it or rude or like disown anybody, but now I'm going to do what I truly want to do. And if I want to lay in bed all day, I'm going to lay in bed all day. I don't do that, but...
It's interesting you said you read self-help books and then one of them all of a sudden just clicked. And that's, mm-hmm. I mean, I was the same way. I mean, I've had, you know, all of the self-help books, you know, just mm-hmm. one after another. And so what, I mean, for you, what was the difference in this? And then you said it was birth order and time and when you're born. So it's different from astrology, I'm guessing.
Yeah. It's birth. Birthday, birth time, and location of birth. They're all, it's kind of intermingled a little bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's not the chakras. There's nine. So mm-hmm. it's the, you know, like the, what's the head, the ajna, throat, G center, spleen, solar plexus, root. I might be missing one. I didn't count. But so they're kind of the same, but totally different in the fact mm-hmm. that it's really specific because there's all these little gates and all these little channels and all this other stuff. And like I looked up my twins and they're the exact same. But once you start going down and down and down, they separate. And they're completely different. Mm-hmm. But the book that I read that changed everything was The How to Inner Peace. I don't know who the author is, but it's The How to Inner Peace. And I read it twice within 9 days. And it's a good sized book. And it was a book that you had to like read the sentence, take the sentence in, and then go to the next sentence. Mm-hmm. It was a deep book for me. So that was the one that was like, yeah, I need to do this. And then I have a sister, my youngest sister, there's four of us, but my youngest sister, she's a van lifer. She lives in a van. She loves it to death. And she came to visit and she stayed with me for a little bit. And she's been on this journey herself for the past 2 or 3 years. So I'm grateful for her. I'm grateful that she stayed with me because she got me into the meditating, because I tried it in the past and I'm like, I can't do this. I can't make my brain go blank. And that's totally not what meditating is. And that's what I thought it was, that she introduced me to
it. What is it that gives us that idea? Because, I mean, I had the same thing.
Right? I don't know. I mean, I think it's social media. I think it's out there because people think that and they say it to a degree. But once you really sit back and like learn about it, it's like, it's not that at all. You have your thoughts and they just kind of, once you have it, realize you have it, accept it, but then focus on your breathing. And don't try to push it out. Just like accept it and then breathe, focus on your breathing. And then it just, yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Meditating. Because and of
I
my
hear
sister,
people, I hear people I say that before, you know, is making your mind go blank. You're not thinking about it. It's like,
no, you can't make your mind go
it's
blank.
Impossible. It's impossible to turn your thoughts off. And yeah,
no, you can't. Yeah. No.
Yeah. And so meditation was a big deal in my transformation too. And so that's why I ask, because
how long have you been meditating?
Since 2017.
Okay. Yeah.
And, it was again, like you, it was a book. It was a book that, and I read, you know, hundreds of self-help books, and the thing I found with reading self-help books is they told me why I had the problem, where it came from, what was, you know, you know, it's your subconscious mind. And, but it's like, okay, identified all of that. And it's nothing.
Now what?
Change. Yeah.
What do you do? Okay. Yeah. What do you do with that information? So
my subconscious controls this, and it's all from my childhood and all of the things I believe. How do I change what I believe?
Exactly.
And for me, it was a book called How to Break the Habit of Being Yourself.
I haven't heard that. Okay.
It's
I'll look into it.
Oh, what is names are escaping me today. Joe Dispenza is the author.
Oh, yeah. No, I listen to him. Yeah.
Joe, you've probably heard a lot of what he talks about. Because I've seen podcasts and his appearances, but yeah, the book just laid out not only the subconscious, but how it works in your body.
Yeah.
And just basically what my process was integrating, you know, my body into the, you know, the parts of my subconscious that, you know, that were not working together.
Right.
And his meditation technique was one that worked well for me.
Good. And so that's awesome. Yeah. Cause it's different for everyone, for sure.
Well, and I don't know if it was this way for you, but I struggled, you know, anything you start new, you're not going to do it well at first. And, you know, I'm one that's like, okay, you know, if after a week, it's not, if I'm not, you know, if I haven't mastered it in a week, you know, I would quit and do something else. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
But I kind of said, no, I'm going to just keep doing this until, you know, I'm not as, you know, I feel like I'm doing it wrong. I feel like I'm bad at it, but I kept doing it until I got better. And it still is a practice. I mean, something you still have to work at.
Yeah. Well, and what's great is we have YouTube, so we can watch any videos. We have podcasts. I mean, prior to YouTube and podcasts, you just read the book. And then what do you do with that? You have all that information and you have no idea what to do with it. Now you can read the book and then you go to the internet and you can follow them and just stay in that motivated state as much as possible, because they're constantly in your ear through YouTube, Instagram, whatever social media you're, you know, watching them through. And that's been helpful. Because if I just read the book, The How to Inner Peace, I wouldn't be where I'm at now. I have to watch YouTubes. I have to listen to podcasts. I have to, you know, do all that stuff, meditate. Mm-hmm. YouTube's incredible.
Yeah. Too, yeah. There's all kinds of things that you can
do. But it can be overwhelming. Because, you know, for 10 years when I was just reading self-help books, I think it was making it worse. Because it was so cool. The book was like, oh my God, I get it. And then you close the book and then you're like, now what? Next book. Oh my God, I get it. Close the book. Now what? What do you do with it? So it was just kind of not a spiral, but it was kind of making me in a worse place, because I felt
like running on
there's something out there. I just don't know how to get it. I know it's there. It's in these books. I just don't know how to do it. So finally, you know, I'm actually doing something with it, and it's definitely changed my attitude. It's definitely made me more of a hermit. I've been by myself a lot lately, which is totally fine with me. But that's part of my healing journey. is being with myself and learning to accept myself for who I am and the way I am. And I'm not, you know, I'm not healed. I'm never going to be healed. It's a lifelong journey, but I am definitely better than I was just 5 months ago.
You talk about reading the self-help books. It kind of reminded me of running on a treadmill. You're doing all the work, but you're not going anywhere.
Oh gosh, treadmills are the work.
So what you said your passion, what you know, your passion for women especially, and I, you know, I've you know, I'm not an expert on women, but I've heard some of the things that a lot of women have, you know, kind of struggle with, you know, talking, you know, just on just things that they've shared on Facebook of, you know, imposter syndrome and identity and, you know, feeling like they don't measure up, and, you know, you've got to, you know, kind of some of the things that you had said. So, you know, what, you know, some of the women who are out there who may be hearing what you're saying going, wow, that sounds really cool. What would your advice be to where you were 7 years ago, 5 years ago?
So my advice is, I mean, it took a really low for me to get to where I'm at, and I don't want somebody to get to their lowest low to have to, you know, change.
Because right. a lot of people say that, well, I hit rock bottom, you know, and there was no place else to go. I just like, well, you know, let's not go that deep.
Yeah, I don't want them to have to go that deep. And I was at a really low place, you know, and nobody knows my story. It's not out there. But women, like, I can't just give one general thing. I mean, it just depends on where they're at in their, you know, if they're not even on their journey. If, you know, if they're becoming empty nesters and they're like, now what? I've been mom my whole life. What am I supposed to do now? You know, everybody's looking for their purpose in life or their passion. You could have multiple passions. Mine is running. I love running. I love art. I love to draw and I love to paint. I haven't done that in 15, 20 years, probably. I'd like to start doing that again. But for them to find something that, if money was no object, time was no object, nothing wasn't, you could do anything that you wanted. Name three things that you would do. And then of the three, pick the one that lights you up the most. And then just start doing something with that, even if it's 5 minutes a day or once a week or whatever it is. Just start with that, and then watch YouTube. I mean, if you need inspiration, find groups on Meetup, find groups on Facebook. You know, I've gone through all those routes, and I don't stick. What's great is, like, I find something, and I'm like, this is so great, and then I'm like, okay, then it leads me to the next thing. And then it leads me to the next. So when I first started back in December, I found Abraham. No, it was January. It was January of 2022. I found Abraham Hicks. You know who that is, right?
I've heard the name. I can't remember. I mean, again, I mean, I watch a lot of different people, and so I can't remember.
He's the main one that's about manifesting. You got to change, be positive, all that stuff. Yes. When I first heard her, I was like, oh my God, this is amazing. Because you read the book, The Secret, maybe? Have you? Okay. Yeah. So it's The Secret. It's the same concept. It was all one and the same. So I heard her and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And then it led me to listening to somebody else, which led me to somebody else. It's not that you find somebody and you stick with that person. I mean, you can, but each person I found has led me deeper down into more ways to actually do it. Because Abraham Hicks was great when I listened to her. I don't listen to her anymore just because I found something that resonates with me on a deeper level. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to be, you know, an empty nester, if you're going through a divorce, like me, I don't have friends. I have, you know, my trail friends, and, you know, I don't really want to, I don't know if I should name names on here or not, but, you know, who I'm talking about. No. Love them to death. Yeah. But I've even stepped away from them, but that's been part of my healing journey, just being away from everybody. But women need women. Women need a community. I've never had a community. I've never had a lot of women friends. Women don't, I don't know. I want more women friends, but it's hard for me to give advice because it's just everybody's so different, and I don't know what stage they're at, other than just find what lights you up inside. If it's knitting, it could be knitting, it could be gardening, it could be cooking, whatever it is. Do that, and you know, that you start there.
And I kind of put you on the spot. So,
yeah,
that's okay. I like what you said. So I'm going to summarize it kind of, going back to what you said to at the beginning, is that find something that is for you. And say that, you know, the same thing that goes for men, but, you know, I think men have it a little bit easier because the women are in our lives oftentimes sacrifice to take care of us. And so they, you know, men get to go and do the things that they want to do without mm-hmm. without the kind of emotional, the emotional questioning, the feeling that I shouldn't be doing this because I'm being selfish and I need to be helping other people.
Yeah.
And it's just that tends to be a, in general, kind of a difference between men and women. But yeah, you said, you know, find something that is yours for you that you do that makes you happy. Mm-hmm. And I think that's important for everybody, but women in particular, I see tend to struggle with that more because, you know, you've been, you know, the care of children falls to women and it's, you know, that's always a big balance, a big,
yeah.
A big but so yeah, that's great advice.
Thinking of it now that you put me on the spot and I can really think it through. so I found trail running back in 2017. That was my thing. I found that. Now looking back, I'm telling somebody, if you love cooking, just start cooking. Gardening, just start it. So I started trail running by myself, and then I found Waco or the bar Thursday night.
Yeah.
I found bar, and there I found my community. I'm like, oh, I love these people. I don't necessarily go and hang out with them, but when we're together, I just feel like I'm part of something. So I did that. I found that. And then, you know, still life happened. Things happened. I stepped away from it. You know, I haven't been to bar in probably September of last year. I don't know. But I still know these people. And I know as soon as I come back, it's going to be like nothing's changed.
Right.
But so I found that, and it did slip. But now I'm coming back around, and you know, it's ebb and flows of life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, you talk about community and I've seen people come to bar, and I've been that way as well. You know, everybody else is talking and I'm not, you know, I'm just kind of just wandering around listening to the conversations and not really partaking. But there's something about just being in that group of people that even if nobody's paying attention to me, or if I'm not sharing, or I mean, just hanging around, there is an energy in the group that I feel, even if I'm not, you know, if I'm not in the middle of all of it.
Exactly. Yeah. It definitely, it's a highlight of my week when I am able to go, for sure.
Yeah. Well, and I think for a lot of, you know, people, when you say community, you know, they're thinking about, you know, sharing, you know, personal connections and doesn't necessarily always have to be that kind of deep, you know, best friends type, you know, your group of your best friends. It couldn't be just casual acquaintances.
But
we need the fact that we're all kind of doing the same thing. So if you're knitting, you know, find your people.
Yeah, they're out there for everything. Cooking, knitting, you know, making jewelry, whatever it is. There are groups out there everywhere. Through Meetup, through Facebook, they're out there. And there's women everywhere looking for you. Somebody's looking for you. Somebody's looking to find that group.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's really important. And it affects kind of the group that you choose. Well, I think affects kind of your success as well. Just the fact that the story that I tell is when I ran the 50 mile, the Hawk 50, when I said, I think I'll try that 100 next year. I'm hanging around people who think it's normal to be able to run a 100 miles.
Exactly. So that's in your head. And that's this whole thing with the Abraham Hicks. What you put out there, you get. If you're putting out there, I don't think I can do it. Okay, fine. You can't do it. I think I'm going to do that. Okay, you're going to do that. I didn't finish my first 100, I DNF because of, my knee or whatever, but you put out what you put out there, negative or positive, you get it. You get it. If you're saying, I just want to be rich. I want, that's a negative. You're actually saying you don't have it because you want it. That's a negative. It's tough though too.
So, okay. You touched on a nerve for me.
what? Tell me.
About the things that you put out there, last year, I choose a word for the year every year.
Okay.
And so my word last year was words.
Okay.
And so I told the guys in my men's group, I said, because that's where I got this idea. We've been doing it for the last 13 years. And so I said, I am going to look at this year. And so the words that come out of my mouth, I'm going to expect that they will happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that idea of even casual words. And, so that was, kind of what you were talking about, this, putting it out there, what you want.
It's tough.
Just, there's so many times that people are just joking around and say things
and
that are just, you're calling down curses on your life and you don't even, yes, you think it's just joking, but the words are the same.
I still do it. I catch myself because I just said it, I think yesterday, because I love to run and I know I need to cross train. I know I need to lift weights or do. And I joke about it. I'm like, I'm a lazy runner. Like, yeah. Okay. So you're a lazy runner. You're not going to do it because you just told yourself you're a lazy runner. Mm-hmm. You know, I consider myself a runner. That is nothing that will ever, that's just what I am, what I do. I'm a runner. There's no negative in that. That's not like I want to be a runner. It's, or I want to lose weight. You're not gonna if you want to. You have to say, just envision yourself being where you want to be. Mm-hmm. And then just start practicing it. And then like my running, I'm a runner. I wish I could say I'm a millionaire. But, I got to change that.
Well, yeah, you have to start saying that. Imagine.
Yeah, you have to start saying that.
It's the same principle. It really is the same principle. Mm-hmm. I was at a networking group and I was walking by and a guy bent down to pick something up off the floor and he said something about, oh, it sucks to get, because it sucks to be getting old. And I stopped and says, what did you say? I gave him this 5-minute lecture on, don't say those things over yourself because the thing that I see is that there is an expectation among people that as you get older, you're not going to be able to do the things that you could do when you're younger. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are physical things, but I think a lot of the physical comes from the fact that there's this expectation in our society that when you get old, your body gets, your body breaks down. And so people start expecting it. And then they start saying it, the aches and pains, my body may have to get that knee replaced. There's things that just come out of their mouth. I hear these things and it's like fingers on a chalkboard for me now because, mm-hmm. Because
absolutely,
I've kind of conditioned my mind to to pay so much attention. I've gone down to even trying to say, I don't say I am tired. I say I feel sleepy. And so because the things that you say after I am is, that's
that's really projecting what your identity, and living from your identity is, you kind of create your identity by the words that you use.
And I think that's why I'm where I'm at in my physical life is like, I've always been into fitness and running and taking care of myself. And it's never been, oh my gosh, I have to do this. I have to do this. It's just, it's a part of me. And then I have people in my life that are my age and they're like, yeah, I feel old. You're telling yourself that. So you're going to be that. And it just, you know, and I can, you know, it drives me insane, but at the same time, it's like, they have to figure it out.
Yes.
You know, they have to be in a place where they're ready to figure it out, because where I'm at now in my healing journey, I didn't figure it out 10 years ago. I figured it out now. This was when I was supposed to figure it out, you know?
Yeah. And once I started getting some of those revelations, I look back and says, I could have done this 20 years ago. It's like, yeah, I could have, but I didn't. And I got to deal with it.
If I would have found trail 10, 15 years ago, I would have been really, really, really good, but I didn't. And I don't dwell on it. I don't look, oh my gosh, I wish I would have found it. I mean, I didn't. I found it when I was supposed to. I love what I've been able to accomplish with it. I love where I'm at in my life physically. I'm proud of where I'm at. You know, I've taken care of myself and, you know, my kids. I could totally beat my kids. they're always you know, saying, oh my gosh, I'm getting old. I'm like, then you are getting old, because I never say that about myself.
Yeah.
I never call myself old. I don't feel old. I feel like I'm in my 30s. So.
Yeah. I don't call myself old. I mean, people ask me how old I am and I tell them, but I'm looking ahead. Yeah. And, on my podcast, I've talked to people who, are running into their 90s, and there's a 93-year-old guy that ran across the years in January. He did 130 miles in the 6 days.
Oh, and, wow. That's what I
want to
do.
Yeah.
I could be there.
I'm that's what I, and I look at those people, and, they're in their 80s and they're still running. I mean, and I'm like, yeah, that's me. I'm at 100, I want to be able to run 100 miles at 100 years old. That's where I'm at.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ran today, just a short little 4 mile run, but I came across this older man. He was quite a bit older than me, and I passed, we were going in opposite directions, and I did my turnaround because it was just a 4 mile run. And then I came back and I stopped my run and started running alongside him. And I just told him, I'm like, I'm so happy to see you out here. He's like, well, I just got to keep going so I can keep going, you know. And he was running, you know, his pace, and he looked fantastic. And he was, I would say he might be in his early 80s. Mm-hmm. He was pretty up there, but that's, you know, he has that mindset. I have personal stories of that. I have my stepmom and my ex-mother-in-law. My stepmom, they're both the same age. One of them has always been not active, whereas the other is more active. And they're now 82, and there's that you can see which one was active and which one wasn't. And it was their mindset, you know, because my ex-mother-in-law, she's 82, and she's like, I just talked to my daughter yesterday, and she's like, grandma says she feels like she's 20. She's 82 years old. Mm-hmm. She still goes out and dances, you know?
Yeah.
And then my stepmom is, I don't know how much further or how much longer she's going to be with us.
Yeah.
It's, you know, lifestyle and mindset, you know, for sure.
Yeah. And it's amazing.
And the trail helps with that.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Trail is therapy. The best therapy. There's been many days I'm on the trail crying it out, or laughing. And like, I had one run, it was snow. It was heavy snow. Trees were like down hanging, and I was having to climb under, or, you know, crawl under them. And the whole time I was giggling like a child. It was the best run of my life, I think. And it was out at Waco.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love running in the snow. I love
it. It's hard, but I love it. Yeah.
it's harder. Yeah.
A lot more work involved.
Yeah. There was one. So, can you give a little bit of a manifestation of what's ahead for you? I mean, what do you,
what is ahead for me? I see myself I don't want to go. I don't want to give anything away.
Well, no, I meant without. Yeah, I knew that wasn't asking you to give anything away, but I was going to say what.
I see myself in a definitely a better mindset than I have been in the past. Pretty much my whole life.
Yeah. So you're in the middle of this journey. You just kind of started and made a few steps, and so
it's not a midlife crisis. It's a midlife awakening. Mm-hmm. I'm awakening to myself and finding myself, and hopefully I can encourage other women to do the same thing, which is pretty great.
So if some of the women hear that, how can they find you? Okay.
How can they find me?
Yeah.
I'm all over social media. Yeah. I'm a selfie queen, right? I'm all over Facebook. I'm all over Instagram. I have TikTok, but I'm trying to start a different TikTok. But I have a couple different ones going on, but mm-hmm. I'm not really doing much with TikTok. But Facebook is Renita Pace. Or no, it's Renita Pace Kalavig. I've got two Facebook pages. My personal page is my busy page, Renita Pace Kalavig. So,
okay. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll put the link in the show notes too. So, so somebody can reach out to you. So,
yeah.
Well, thank you a lot.
I would love to just talk to somebody and just encourage them to just like find happiness, you know, and it's not necessarily happiness because that's just a word, but find something that brings you joy, mm-hmm. something that lights you up. Happiness is kind of a cliche word, but
yeah, happiness is, yeah, there's a deeper meaning to happiness that I think you mean rather than happiness should mean contentment and peace and satisfaction, you know, that should be all elements of happiness.
Right. Right.
So, and that's,
I would love to talk to anybody though. It lights me up to talk to people about anything that's, I don't know, healthy, running, eating correctly, spiritual stuff. I can talk for hours. Anything else, I won't probably talk. I'm not a fan of small talk. Small talk is not my thing. I like deep conversation.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. My wife is the same way. She has difficulty in some social situations just because, you know, people talk about, you know, the latest thing on TV, you know, just all of the inane things, and, you know, that just, she just says, she doesn't have much use for that.
I don't either. She and I would get along.
you're very similar in personality.
Strong. She's strong-willed. She's got a strong personality.
Hey. Yes.
I'm a Leo, you know.
Yeah. Well, thank you a lot, Renita. I appreciate it. I'm going to stop the recording.
Okay. I had fun. This was great.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Ultra Marathon Mindset Podcast. I do enjoy being able to spend time with you here each week. I appreciate you taking the time to listen. The show notes for this episode and others are at ultramindsetpodcast.run. You can find this week's guest there. More information, links to their social media and website. There's also a podcast player there if you want to share this episode with somebody who does not normally listen to podcasts and doesn't have a podcast player on their phone. You can also find links there for my Amazon affiliate link, Crush Your Goals course, a short course I made to help you get your goals in order. Also, you can schedule a chat with me. My online calendar is there. All of these links are at the sidebar if you're on a laptop, or you have to scroll clear to the bottom if you are on a phone. If you did enjoy this episode and you do know somebody who might like it, take just a minute, send them a link so they can listen. Remember that an ultramarathon mindset is about more than just running. You need a strong mindset for success no matter what your goal in life. And developing a strong mindset is a skill you can improve. Thank you again for listening. I'll see you next time.